Hey kids, it's Mrs. Ferguson, the story lady, back again, finally. I know, I had a really busy week, but I am going to try and get three stories up for you this week. And these three stories are special stories because they're stories I was going to do with a grade four class. And we were already working on preparing our story concerts when we got shut out of school. So my grade fours, this is for you, but it's for anybody who has ever said, I love stories about fairies and magical creatures, but are there any fairies and magical creatures that live where I live? And the answer to that is in the story that I'm going to give you today. But the big answer is to say, who lived in Canada long, long ago? And the answer is Indigenous peoples, our Native peoples. And so if you want to know about the magical creatures in Canada, you need to look at the stories told at the same time all the stories, other fairy stories in the world were being told a long, long time ago. And those are stories told by Native people. Now, this story does have a gun in it, and so it's not a really old story, but the idea of the trickster in it, that goes back as long as we've been telling stories. So this is a story, it's called Jitgarondo, and it is a story that I found in a collection by a lady called Alma Green a really, really long time ago, like 25 years. Many years ago, the Mohawk people lived near Toronto. They used to go along a narrow path that led through their lands. And the path led through the woods, and the woods, the trees were tall, and there was lots and lots of things growing under the trees. It was very quiet, and the path was very long. Now, often, people that were traveling on that path got tired or hungry. They needed a place to rest. And fortunately, they had a place. It was a very special spot because everybody who walked that very long path would take a break at the same spot. Now, it was a spot right down by the water. And there were a lot of other paths that led to this spot too. So if you stop for a rest from your path, you might meet people from another path and be able to share news, because in those days there was no internet, and that's how you found out what was going on. Now, there was a great big willow tree with its branches out over the water, and under it there was a fallen log, and the log had been sat on so many times that the top of the log was all smooth, no splinters. And all around the log, there were little wildflowers that grew on the ground like a carpet of yellow and pink and purple. When it was raining, people could sit on the log, and because of the willow tree, they wouldn't get wet at all. And when it was sunny, they could sit on the log, and the willow tree would keep them nice and cool. And people would like to just sit and be quiet and listen to the different birds and the little animals, and maybe talk to each other and maybe just have a rest. Now, one day, a hunter had been out hunting all day, and he was tired, and he came to the log. He was all by himself. He sat down. He sat down, and he was like, oh, I should get going. But you know how it is when you know you should get going, but you can't quite get yourself going. And he just found that it was just warm enough and just quiet enough, he got really sleepy. So he kind of stretched out on top of that log. He looked around. It was a totally fine, safe place. There was no big creatures. Nothing was going to hurt him. So he went to sleep. And he heard this big thumping sound. Thought, oh, something's knocking. I have to answer the door. And so he opened his eyes and he jumped off the log and he was like, oh, right, no door. I'm outside. But he he could still hear. And he thought, well, I don't know what that is, but I'm tired. I'm going to go back to sleep. And so he laid down again, and then all of a sudden, he could hear a sound. It was a sound like a big animal charging through the trees right at him. He jumped up, he grabbed his gun, he put his gun on his shoulder, but he couldn't see anything. And then that noise stopped, and all of a sudden, he heard a baby crying. Now, that hunter knew there were no babies close. He knew that whatever had made the thumping sound and the crashing sound was crying. And that, those kind of sounds, they could only be made by magic. Now, the hunter was very brave. He would face down big animals so that he could feed his family and his people. But he was not brave enough to be attacked by magic. So he ran away. He ran and he ran until he got back to his village. But when he got close to the village and he was kind of getting tired, nothing had happened, he kind of got embarrassed. He thought, oh, it's probably just dreaming. Because, you know, sometimes you have those dreams and you think you're awake, but you're not. So he decided he wasn't going to tell anybody what he thought had happened because they would just laugh. And that's why the very next day, two women from his village set out into the woods to collect herbs and plants that they would need for medicine and for cooking. Now, the women worked all morning gathering plants into their baskets, and then when they got tired, they went to the log under the willow tree, and they sat quietly. The sun was hot, but the willow made it cool. There was a little bit of a breeze. Now, the women knew that when they got back, they would have to make dinner, they'd have to look after their kids, there would be such things to clean up. Their work never stopped, and so they were like, we're just taking a minute. We're going to have some quiet. Well, all of a sudden, as they sat just quietly talking and enjoying the peace, there was a loud cackling laugh. And the women jumped up and they started to run. They ran, and as they ran, they sometimes were on the path and sometimes off the path, so the trees were scraping at their arms and their hair. Their plants that they had gathered so carefully started flying out of their baskets. Their faces were red because they were running and crying. And when they got back to the village, people took one look at them and said, what happened? What's wrong? And soon a whole crowd of people gathered around them. And the women told their story. And the hunter listened. And he realized it hadn't just happened to him and it hadn't just happened once. So he had to tell his story too. And then there was a gathering of all the wisest people in the village because they were worried. This place wasn't very far from their village. It had some kind of magical goings on. And they really needed their quiet, beautiful spot by the water. They really needed that place to be peaceful and safe. Well, some people said, it's a ghost. It's a ghost of somebody who was murdered. And other people said, no, it's just a ghost of a child who died too young, and she's just trying to play. And somebody else said, no, it's not magic at all. Somebody hid some treasure, and they're just trying to scare us away. There was all kinds of ideas, but there was no way to solve the problem by talking about it. So some of the bravest men and women said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go, and we're going to wait, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But before we do, some people got bullets for their guns that had silver on the tip because they believed you could even shoot a ghost if you had silver on your bullet. They needed any help they could get because they didn't have any magic of their own. And they went and they sat. Some people sat around the log. Nobody really wanted to sit right on the log. Some people leaned against trees, and they talked, and it got later and later, but nothing had happened. And then it got dark, and the moon came up, and nothing had happened. And people started to get that, you know, creepy feeling you get down your back when you've stayed up way too late and you're way too tired. Sun just started to rise. The sky was just going a little bit pink when all of a sudden they heard a baby crying. And everybody jumped up and they grabbed their guns. And all of a sudden they heard like dogs, but like dogs that were in a fight, big dogs growling and fighting and snarling. And they looked for where that was. And then all of a sudden that sound stopped. And now there was a sound like a big animal was charging through the woods right at them, and one of the hunters was so nervous that even though he couldn't see anything, he fired his gun straight up into the air. Three times he fired that gun. And as the smoke cleared, people started to point and talk because something was running out of the end of the log because the log was hollow. And the creature that was running out of the end of the log, it wasn't scary and magical. It was just a fox, just a skinny red fox. For a moment, nobody knew what to say. And then the chief began to laugh. And he explained that one of the powers of the fox was to be a trickster, and that he could imitate the way people sounded or animals sounded. And this fox had curled up in the nicest place to have a rest, and he was trying to keep it all for himself. But now he had been frightened away, and the people knew that they were safe. And to this day, that fox was so freaked out, he never came back. And so you'll never go down by the lake and see foxes playing in Toronto. Isn't that a good story? I love it because it makes us think that you could go down for a walk by Lake Ontario and maybe have just a tiny bit of magic happen to you. So I want you to imagine for a minute that we're going to our garden. Do you remember your garden? You haven't been there for so long. Just take some nice breaths. Just comfortable, not really big, not really small. And I want you to imagine you're outside and you're walking barefoot in the grass. You know, the really soft grass. And I want you to feel that soft grass and smell just how fresh it is. And then when you look up, as you feel the grass under your toes, you notice that the sky is bright, bright blue and the clouds are bright, bright white. And the sun is shining. And I want you just to enjoy being outside and having all of these good smells and pretty things to look at. Maybe you're going to see some flowers in the grass. Now you've walked until you come to the woods. So you step onto the path through the woods, and it's your path. So it's worn nice and smooth, and it's okay to be barefoot. And I want you to walk barefoot through the woods, so quiet, listening to the sounds of the little animals and the birds, listening to the sound of the breeze as it moves the trees. And I want you to come to that big old tree, that tree you've seen before. It's so huge, the trunk is so wide, and the branches are so low, and they are covered with backpacks and bags, all shapes, all sizes. You know this is the trouble tree, and so I want you to take off whatever troubles you're carrying and hang them on the trouble tree. Now when you feel light and good, because the trouble tree is looking after all your troubles, I want you to come to your gate, and I want you to see your gate and see what it looks like, and walk through your gate and into your garden. And in your garden, there's more of that thick, soft green grass. There's more of that blue sky and clouds. And this time, I want you to walk down through the field, maybe through the woods, until you come to the shore of the lake that is in your garden. And as you find a place to sit by the shore, maybe you want to throw some rocks in the water and see how many times you can make them jump. As you're just sitting there, I want you to notice one small red fox. And you see them just poke their nose out of the bushes. So you sit very still and quiet. And you watch, and the fox makes its way down to the beach, down beside the water, and it's just like a dog almost, but you know that long fox tail. And I want you to watch the fox as it sits, and it maybe licks its paws and grooms. Maybe it uses its paws to groom its tail. And the fox looks at you, and you look at the fox. And then the fox curls up to have a nap. And maybe you want to just stretch out, and maybe you want to fall asleep, or maybe you just want to watch the clouds for a while. But you and the fox are just resting comfortably. I think your fox is a sleep fox. I think even when you're going to bed at night, if you're having a little bit of trouble falling asleep, the sleep fox might come and meet you right here, right by the edge of the water. And while you're looking out over the water, the sleep fox might come and just be sleeping so comfy and so cozy, all curled up in its lovely tail, that you might just get sleepy too. But for now, you've had a rest. You've had a play. It's time to walk back to the edge of your garden, to open your gate and to close it gently, thanking your garden for being there and knowing that this garden is your own special place that is waiting for you whenever you want to visit. And come all the way back, and you can check the comments for a link to some instructions on how you can draw your very own sleeping fox and how you can practice imagining that fox sleeping so comfy and cozy near you that whenever you need company falling asleep, you can just close your eyes and find your fox. I'll see you soon.